Almighty God, Father, Lord, King, high and lifted up one, we lift you up in this place. We adore you. You are good, only good, and always good. You are the giver of only good and perfect things. We lift up holy hands before you without wrath, without doubting, and we adore you. We praise you, our God. Lord Jesus, you are the one who came from heaven to earth, and we thank you, we thank you, we thank you for what you did. Oh, none other could do what you did, and we thank you. Holy Spirit, we thank you for coming to dwell within us, to guide and lead us. Our God in three persons, we praise you. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Well, what is it that we celebrate today? What is it that we celebrate at Christmas? Well, what is Christmas? Christmas, what is it really about? Is it about the tinsel, the shiny things? Is it about ornaments? Is it about tree toppers, whether it be an angel or a star? Is it about wrapping paper? Is it about bows? Is it about presents? Many people would say yes, yes, and yes. But Christmas derives its highest meaning from a present that brought about His presence, namely the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ into the world. God's coming to be with us. It's Emmanuel. In Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, it says, "Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And then in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23, it says, "Look, the virgin will conceive a child, she will give birth to a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel," which means God is with us. Christmas is all about God coming from heaven to earth to be with us so that He might do some things for us, because we had need of some things. So God coming to us is Emmanuel. Now, the book of Isaiah was written some 700 years before Jesus actually stepped foot into humanity and became a human being. And so when Isaiah 7 was written, that was some 700 years before He came. And in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, it says, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen." Emmanuel, God coming to us, God to be with us, so that in the end we could be with Him forever. In John chapter 1, I'm just still talking about Emmanuel. John chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So he's talking about Jesus. And then you jump down into verse 14 of that same chapter, and it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Emmanuel is God coming from heaven, stepping into earth as a human being. And we get a hold of that in some measure in our minds, but yet we don't fully understand it. The one who created everything in the beginning was God, and God created everything. In the beginning was the Word, that's God. In the beginning, God created everything. He created all things. He spoke, and all things were made. And He made a decision long before we ever were born, long before humanity was even on the scene. God had made a decision. He was going to create humanity to be with Him. To be with Him. That's why we were created, was to be with Him. And God, the very Creator, made a decision. "I will step into humanity so that I can be with them, so that they can be with us." God with us. So why did he need to come at all? Well, he needed to come to save us. In Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 21, it says, this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The word Jesus itself means God saves or Jehovah saves. It literally is the title of Savior. Now, there were a lot of people named Jesus, but it was literally given from God to the parents that, you know, Mary gave birth, but Joseph was his natural father in the earth. And so God gave them a command to name him certain things, name him a certain thing, and that was to name him Savior, because he's going to save the people from their sins. So that's why he came. So let's look at the account of his coming to earth as Emmanuel. We'll look at this in a couple of different places. I absolutely love Luke, that account, but I like Matthew's account as well of this. So we'll look at both of them. And we're not going to be here real long today. Now, remember, this is a preacher speaking. That is, they used to put it this way, preachers speak evangelistically. In other words, we stretch things. But I really believe we will not be here real long. But we are going to look at several verses here in the book of Luke, chapter 1. And we'll begin in verse 26. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Now, Elizabeth is John the Baptist's mother, which was also miraculous. She was barren, and God brought a miracle about for John the Baptist to be born as well. So in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. And she was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel said, for you have found favor with God. Now let me stop there for a moment. If an angel appears to you, you're probably going to be frightened. This is just natural. They are massive beings. And it talks about that in the Word of God. It says that they exceed us in strength. They excel us in strength. They are much mightier, massive beings. So for Mary to be a little frightened, for Joseph to be a little frightened, that's natural. So just keep that in mind, because God does things in supernatural ways. He deals with us as natural beings, but he is a supernatural being, and so are the angels. So he said, don't be afraid, Mary. The angel told her, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. And he will be very great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. And Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? I'm a virgin. She was not saying this can't happen. She was saying, how are you going to bring this about, God? How are you going to bring this about? And the angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. And then in Matthew's account, it says in Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from the eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him. King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting with the leading priests and the teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said. "For this is what the prophet wrote, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Now, I'm not going to read it, but that is a direct quote out of Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. That's where he is. That's where the priests were talking about. "Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, 'Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too.' After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and they gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And when it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod." The greatest gift that was ever given is Jesus. But these wise men brought gifts unto him. They blessed him with these gifts. Now, whether you realize this or not, later on, Mary and Joseph went into Egypt, and they stayed there for a period of time until King Herod died. These gifts that were given to them were such an incredible financial blessing that it allowed them to stay there in Egypt. We were blessed with Jesus coming, and the wise men blessed God with their giving out of obedience. I'm sure God had put it in their heart. But oh man, you've got to realize you have something to give back to God. You have something to give back to God. Then let's go into Luke chapter 2 and verses 6 through 18. And it says, "And while they were there," and "they" is Mary and Joseph in Bethlehem, "the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him," you know, I talked about wrapping, there's wrapping involved in this. "She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no lodging available for them." My wife likes to say, "There was no room in the inn." There was no room in the inn, because that's how it says it in the King James. "That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them." It was shiny. You realize when we put tinsel on a tree, it really is indicative and a symbolic thing of the glory of God, whether you realize that or not. Because when light hits it, you know, it shines and all that. "Suddenly, the angel of the Lord appeared unto them. The radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. But the angel reassured them, 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, in the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger.' Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased.' And when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, 'Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was a baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. They were the first evangelists telling people about Jesus. These shepherds going back to their fields. They were so excited. We've seen the Lord has come. Emmanuel, he had come to earth. You see, the real Christmas account does involve some of the things that I was talking about earlier. It involves a star, which is a sign from God in the heavens. But it is not merely about a star. It includes angels, but it's not merely about the angels. It has glistening, but it is not about tinsel. It has wrapping, but it is not about the wrapping. The true story, the true account of Christmas, has many different components, as we've seen. But it is about the one who came from heaven to earth that day to bring us the presence of Almighty God. Only in coming could he fulfill his great calling, which was to live a perfect life, to be tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin, then to die a substitutionary death for us, and finally, to rise from the dead and defeat death, to defeat hell, to defeat the devil once and for all, so that we could be with God forever. He came not just to be born, but the purpose of him being born was that he might live perfectly, that he might die the perfect death, that he might overcome the devil, and that he might come out of the grave on our behalf. And he did so. He did so. He did so. The ultimate reason for his coming, he came to die and to raise from the dead to give us the gift of eternal life. Romans chapter 4 and verse 25 says, he was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. Eternal life. It's a gift that must be unwrapped, and you must unwrap that gift yourself. Jesus came, but there are some things that we have to do. John chapter 3 and verse 16, the most beloved verse. The most beloved verse. For God had such love for the world that he gave his only son. He gave a gift. That whoever has faith in him may not come to destruction, but have eternal life. Amen. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12 says, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son, whoever does not have God's Son, does not have life. So God has presented the gift to you. We must unwrap that gift. How do we do that? We believe and we confess him as Lord. It's that simple. You know, we've got a Christmas tree over here, and if there were presents under that tree and maybe we had spent $1,000 on buying presents for our grandkids, and you know, if they never rip into those presents, I'm going to be disappointed because we spent time. The greatest gift that was ever given is Jesus. But you must unwrap that gift. And you unwrap that gift by hearing the message that he is the Savior of the world, that you needed to be saved, by believing that he is the Savior, by believing that he raised from the dead, and then you do it by confessing him as your Lord, asking him to be your Lord. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. It says here, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Unwrapping the gift. For it is by believing with your heart that you are made right with God, and by confessing that with your mouth that you are saved. That's unwrapping the gift. The gift has been given, but we must unwrap it. We must believe it. We must confess him as Lord. Ask him to be your Lord. And then, instantly, you are made a new creature in Christ Jesus. The greatest gift that was ever given is Jesus. But you got to unwrap the gift. And that's your part. God's motivation for all that he has done is love. For God loved us so much that he sent Jesus. But we must receive that love. We must receive that love. Well, that's up to you whether you want to receive Him or not. I'm just going to ask that you bow your heads for just a moment. If there would be even a single person in this room that would say, I need to receive that gift. I need to unwrap that gift. I just want you to raise your hand. I'm not going to drag this out. Okay, that's fine. Let me just pray real quickly, and then we will. You can look up at me. And we will pray, and then we'll have a song that we will sing. When we do that, I'm going to ask my wife to come up here because she has a good voice, and you can hear her better than you can hear me. And then we'll do that. So let's just pray real quickly. Father, we have this time together with You. We rejoice in Your presence. You are good, only good, and always good. Jesus, we thank You for coming as that gift. You were wrapped in swaddling clothes. You were kept safe by Your parents. You were wrapped in human flesh, God the Son. And we thank You so very, very much for coming. Oh, I have received that gift by my faith, by believing and asking You to be my Lord. And I thank You that I have eternal life. You are good. You are always good. You are only good. And we rejoice that You are. Oh, we thank You for all that You have done, all that You are doing. And we thank You that one day soon we will be with You. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Where did